Blog Talk Radio.
Wednesday.
Oh, shit.
No, I really didn't know.
If you can't tell, I'm stalling here. I was trying to get my videos in order so that I can entertain you with them, which indeed we're going to do. So I have a jam-packed show today. Yesterday I had way too many stories. Today I have way too many stories. Not going to get them all in. But that's what happens. So we have obviously a lot of stuff on the election here. I'm super pissed off about a random story because of how shitty the media does in covering it. Specifically, I'm talking about the New York Times and how they covered that businesses are now leaving the Republican Party. Wait until you see their framing, because they frame it like, aha, got you, to the Republicans. But no, that should actually be more of a gotcha to the Democrats, and I'll explain why. Hold on one sec here. I'm actually fixing my headset as I talk to you guys. Apparently I'm a mess as I'm coming on air here. Okay. Also, what I have for you. Governor of California, Jerry Brown, endorses Hillary Clinton. Pretty sad. I really don't like the reasoning that he gives. In fact, I think his reasoning is complete and utter bullshit. So I'm going to break it down, and I'm going to explain to you why, indeed, it is bullshit. And then we have more lies from Donald Trump. Apparently, we have more evidence that he's not worth anywhere near what he says he is. And we have lies about fundraising for veterans. Oh, wait until you get the specifics there. This guy is so fucking shameless, it's unbelievable. And as notice something. There's a direct correlation between how aggressive he is and how full of shit he is. So when he goes most on the offense is when he has the most to hide. Remember that, because this is going to be important moving forward, and we just have stone-cold proof of it coming up. And then Rush Limbaugh really, really, really embarrasses himself. It's amazing that this guy is still on the radio. He might not be much longer. He's struggling with advertisers and whatnot, and he's struggling with renegotiating his contract, but wait until you hear what we have on him today. All right, so let's go ahead and get started here. And we're going to do that with the story that got under my skin that I don't think anybody else is going to cover, even though they should, because this shows you not only what's wrong with the political system, but also what's wrong with the media. There's an article in the New York Times that really got under my skin, and perhaps it angered me for an unexpected reason. It's about how corporations are starting to snub the Republican convention. So they say, Hewlett-Packard has joined a growing list of major corporations that are declining to help pay for the Republican National Convention as pressure builds on the business community to repudiate Donald Trump. HP joins Coca-Cola and Microsoft in deciding to either significantly curtail or eliminate its monetary support to the Republican convention. Coca-Cola has declined to match the $660,000 it gave for the 2012 Republican convention, donating only $75,000 for this year and indicating that it does not plan to provide more. Continue here. Microsoft will provide only software and technical assistance to the Republicans' event, while plans to give that and monetary support to the Democrats. Political conventions and the cities that host them rely tremendously on corporate donations to fund their expenses, which can exceed $100 million when security costs are included. But companies have been wary of committing to the Republican National Convention this year, given Mr. Trump's provocative and offensive statements on women and minorities. So the entire article in the New York Times frames it from that perspective. And actually, the article is not even much longer than the portions that I gave you here. The entire article is framed as, ha ha, Republicans aren't getting as much corporate support. Losers, little bitches. You're so stupid. But what pisses me off about this is not only the way the political system apparently functions, which is grotesque and built on corruption and legalized bribery, but also the way that the media is covering it, including the New York Times here, who are normally not horrific. They're doing it as if it's like a, don't question the fact that corporations prop up the conventions and have bought and owned the political parties. Don't question that. Let's just all take a minute to laugh at Donald Trump because Donald Trump isn't able to successfully get as many bribes as Hillary Clinton and the Democratic Party. No, if anything, this is a strike against the Democratic Party and for the Republican Party. Now, I get it. The Republicans still want to be corrupt and want to be bribed and want to be a part of this system. But the fact that corporations are snubbing them is something that's going to make your average American go, yeah, we actually prefer that. Corporations are not people. They shouldn't have influence over our political system and the process and definitely the conventions to this extent. Because if you think that they're giving that money and they're expecting nothing in return, you're an idiot. Have I made myself clear? Obviously, if they're giving hundreds of millions of dollars in this sense and in other ways as well, they are expecting stuff in return. That's the whole point, is to get stuff in return. So lo and behold, the corporations fund the conventions, and then would you look at that? The Democrats and the Republicans agree that we need to continue to do these preposterous loopholes, and we need to continue to allow these different corporations to shove their money in the Cayman Islands and Bermuda, and we need to continue to give them corporate welfare checks that we call subsidies because it sounds more official. No, this is the problem. The fact that they wrote this article and they didn't take a minute to say, well, maybe that's actually a good thing that less corporate money is going to one of the political parties, shows you how broken this system is. The corruption and the legalized bribery is so baked into it that writers at the New York Times don't even stop for a second and go, well, yeah, maybe that's an issue. Maybe we should have less corporate money. No, they just frame it as Donald Trump can't get bought as much as the Democrats can today, so isn't he such a loser? No! There are many reasons why he's a loser. That ain't one of them. So it's amazing to me. Like, if aliens came down and they looked at the way this system functions and they read this article and they go and they try to – and what would their takeaway be from it? Their takeaway would be, I don't – like, why is that a good thing? The government's supposed to represent the people. This is the way it's supposed to work, representative democracy, constitutional republic. Okay, they're supposed to represent us, and then what? They're not. They're taking money from the corporations. Then you could see in the laws they pass that they're biased in favor of the corporations. Why would it be a ha-ha gotcha to the Republican Party when they start taking less money from corporations? That's not a ha-ha gotcha. That's a ha-ha gotcha to the Democratic Party. And are Democratic partisans so blind now that they can't see that? That now they would, you know, talk about this article in the sense to point the finger at the Republicans and laugh? Meanwhile, when a Democratic politician on principle decides to take no corporate money, they rightfully get praise, or they should. Bernie Sanders, for example. I don't have a super PAC. Everybody goes, yay, taking less corporate money or no corporate money. What is the Republicans taking it? It's ha-ha, why aren't you taking it? Why would that be a ha-ha? So this really pisses me off because it shows you people don't even think about the corruption for what it is. It's just become so normalized that you write articles and go, see, they suck at getting bribed. No, no, that would be a positive thing. That would be a positive thing. And by the way, the real way to attack the problem here, at least in this specific sense, is to make it so that you don't have corporations funding the conventions anymore. That's it. Pass a law. No more corporate funding of conventions. And you got to do it via tax dollars. You got to allot a certain amount of money to both, and that's it. But no, they rely on the corporate money, and then hilariously, they pretend like that doesn't affect them when it comes time to buckle down and do policy. Of course it affects them. In fact, one can make the argument it's the only thing that affects them. I dare you to try to find this kind of coverage on this story anywhere else. You're not going to find it. A lot of Democratic hacks, if they cover it, are just going to say, oh, look at that. The corporations don't want to buy the Republicans anymore. Don't the Republicans suck? No, that would actually be a sign that's good. And to be clear here, let me just be specific about why I think the corporations aren't paying the Republicans. They say it's because, oh my God, Donald Trump has been so offensive to minorities. I don't buy that because there are plenty of Republican politicians who are offensive to minorities and there are no consequences and they still get their corporate cash. I think the reason why corporations are hesitant to donate to the Republicans and to donate to Trump specifically is because they don't know what the fuck he's going to do. Because he's such a wild card that when he's out there in the debates and he pays lip service to doing protectionism, not allowing more outsourcing and offshoring, when he talks about that, when he talks about not cutting Social Security and Medicare, these are things that the corporations look at and they go, oh, well, he actually seems like he could be populist in some respects, and we fucking hate that, and that affects their bottom line in a negative way. Now, I actually think that when push comes to shove, he is going to listen to the establishment, he is going to buckle, and he is going to do all those shitty things, but they're not sure they trust him. They know somebody like Mitt Romney's a good little puppet bitch, and he'll do their bidding, so they were more than happy to give him money. Donald Trump, they're like, I don't know. Are you on our side or are you on the people's side? We don't know, and he's also just a crazy person, so they don't know. So that's why I think fewer donations are going to him. It's not actually because, oh, he offended minorities so bad. Well, if you're so, pissed about that, then why didn't you stop donating to Mitt Romney? Mitt Romney made horrific comments, not only about minorities, which he did, but also about half the fucking country, 47%, and he still got a tremendous number of donations. So it's not really about that. That's just an excuse because they don't know if he can be bought. Lucky for them, I think he actually can be bought, and it's been proven so far that he actually can be bought, but they still don't know, and that's why they're not giving it to him. Okay. Now, let's go to Jerry Brown here. This is a story that got me pretty upset yesterday. The governor of California, Jerry Brown, endorsed Hillary Clinton this week before the primary in his state on June 7th. So let's go through some of his statement here. He says, on Tuesday, June 7th, I have decided to cast my vote for Hillary Clinton because I believe this is the only path forward to win the presidency and stop the dangerous candidacy of Donald Trump. Okay, let's pause here. Yeah, see, the problem with that is it's factually incorrect. I mean, I want to be kind to you. I don't dislike you up front, but when you say something like that, it pisses me off because it's not true. In fact, when you look at the polls, as we've gone over a zillion times now, Bernie Sanders beats Donald Trump by 15 points in a general election in the most recent poll. In the most recent poll, Hillary Clinton loses to Donald Trump by 2 points. Now, you might say that's one poll that doesn't mean enough. Fair enough. So let's look at the average. When you look at the average, Bernie Sanders is up over Donald Trump over 10 points. Hillary Clinton is down less than a point, but she's down. So it's a statistical tie, you can say, with Hillary Clinton. It is not with Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders crushes him. So when you say, I believe this is the only path forward to win the presidency and stop the dangerous candidacy of Donald Trump, that is not correct. He continues. Hillary Clinton has convincingly made the case that she knows how to get things done and has the tenacity and skill to advance the Democratic agenda. Pause again here. I don't know what that means. When you look at her record, it's really not that good. She voted for the Iraq War. She voted for the Patriot Act. She voted for NAFTA. She was in favor of TPP, and she pushed for it 45 times before she flipped because Bernie Sanders put pressure on her from the left. She was supported deregulation. She gave speeches on the floor of the Senate arguing that flag burning should get you a year in jail. That's brazenly and blatantly against the First Amendment. If she really is a Democrat at heart, she's quite a shitty one. She's a pretty far right-wing Democrat. In fact, I would argue she's just flat-out center-right on the spectrum. And again, we could go into more detail on her foreign policy. It's not like, whoop, she made a mistake with Iraq, but the rest of her track record is good. No, she supported regime change in Libya. She was a leader in that sense, and she also is still today for regime change in Syria. And she's super hawkish on Iran. She wasn't even in favor of the Iran deal. She, af- after the fact, when it worked, she came out and said, oh, yes, I've been in favor of this all along. No, you weren't. We have the evidence. We know you weren't for it. You called Obama naive for saying I'll talk to Iran without preconditions in the last primary season. Again, I don't know where he's getting this from. She has the tenacity to get things done. What things? Things that the Democratic base would not like, he continues. Voters have responded by giving her approximately 3 million more votes and hundreds more delegates than Sanders. If Clinton were to win only 10% of the remaining delegates, wildly improbable, she would still exceed the number needed for the nomination. In other words, Clinton's lead is insurmountable, and Democrats have shown by millions of votes they want her as their nominee. All right, pause again. That is not true. I repeat, that is not true. Bernie Sanders would need to win California with 68% of the vote in order to win, in order to get more pledged delegates. Now, you can make the argument, hey, that's very, very small probability of happening. And you'd be right. I would agree with you 100%. That is a super-duper-duper long shot. No question about it. But your numbers are not true. You don't give that number and say, hey, it's really hard, but it's possible. No, you make shit up. Oh, only 10% of the remaining delegates. Only 10% of the remaining delegates? That's only if you already count superdelegates, which you shouldn't do, because superdelegates don't count until the convention. That's when they decide, and oftentimes they switch. So that's a bullshit, misleading thing to say. And then furthermore, even the 3 million votes thing is massively misleading. Now, I've heard this all along, and I fell for it just like everybody else all along. But guess what? When you actually research it, that doesn't include caucuses. Who gives the vote totals and totally ignores the caucuses? Who does that? We've had so many states with caucuses, and Bernie Sanders has won most of them and won them by a landslide. In some places, he won with over 70%. And when you give the vote totals, you don't include caucuses at all. How incredibly misleading is that? That's so misleading that it's fair to call it a lie. People are just lying when they say Hillary Clinton has 3 million more votes. Only if you exclude the caucuses, which should count, because I don't know if you know this, they literally count. So it's just a ridiculous point to make. And then also, I haven't even brought up the fact that we've had in many states closed primaries. You don't think that affects the vote? Bernie Sanders has a much higher chance of winning when you have open primaries. Why? Because he wins independents overwhelmingly. He crushes Hillary Clinton independents. So the fact that we haven't had open primaries all around the U.S. shows that if indeed we did have open primaries, am I saying Bernie Sanders would be leading? No, I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is it would be much closer of an election. You cannot dispute that based on the numbers, based on the facts. New York alone has 3 million independents. None of them were able to vote in the primary. None of them. Imagine an election where independents were able to vote all around the U.S. Would that be closer? Oh, you bet your ass it would be closer. So, again, my beef with him is just that he's wrong. And I'm not saying, oh, this is my opinion and that is your opinion. No, no, no. The information you're giving is indeed not information. It is misleading. Now, he does go on to a different part of his little message here to say, well, you know, I like Bernie Sanders, and Bernie Sanders talked about income inequality. That's how I tried to run when I ran in 1992, a very important message. But, okay, let's wrap it up. Shut the fuck up. We're done here. Hillary Clinton is the nominee. And then he actually goes on to say, the stakes couldn't be higher. Our country faces an existential threat from climate change and the spread of nuclear weapons. A new Cold War is on the horizon. This is no time for Democrats to keep fighting each other. The general election has already begun. No, 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 no. But see, it hasn't. So that is not true. Okay, understand, for everybody who's a Hillary supporter out there, I need you to get something. Your only chance of getting Bernie people on your side, and there's a lot of people in the Bernie or bust movement now, your only chance is to be super honest and direct with them and upfront with them about the reality of the situation. When you make shitty arguments like this, they like you even less, and they are less likely to vote for Hillary Clinton. So if you come up to a Bernie or bus person and you say, okay, look, here's the deal. Hillary Clinton is Hillary Clinton. Got a lot of dirt on her, made a lot of bad decisions. I agree with you, Iraq War, Patriot Act, go down the list. These are not Democratic priorities. These are not Democratic principles. I agree with you on all that. We all, to a certain extent, are holding our nose and voting for her. I gotcha. But Donald Trump says he's going to violate the Geneva Conventions. The Geneva Conventions is the problem. He's going to bring back torture. He wants to murder civilians in the Middle East, and he says it proudly, and he's doubled down on that. His tax plan adds X amount of trillion dollars to the debt, as we've spoken about before. You have world economists saying that he's not going to stand by the full faith and credit of the United States government, which could lead to a Great Depression, not only in the U.S., but an economic collapse worldwide, if he decides to do with the country what he did with his businesses. So, yeah, Hillary Clinton sucks. This person is literally the one person on the right who she's running against where you would be crazy if you don't vote for her to try to keep this guy out of office. I know it sucks. I know it's terrible. I don't want to do it either, but this is what we're going to do. Okay, that's a different argument than coming out there and pretending like Jerry Brown. Oh, yes, Hillary Clinton is fantastic. Oh, my goodness. She has shown that she is great with Democratic priorities. Oh, I am being so honest and straightforward. By the way, she is winning by 3 million votes, even though she isn't. By the way, let me tell you about how everybody loves Hillary and Bernie Sanders has already lost this and the election is over, even though it is literally not over. Stop lying to us. You're not going to get anybody on your side that way. I don't know why they don't get this. Just be honest and direct and straightforward, and then honestly, you would have a decent argument. But none of you are doing that. All of you are doing shitty things like this, which is just not true. You can't tell I'm a little upset over this story because none of these people are giving real reasons to support Hillary Clinton. They're just not doing it. And there are real reasons in a general election to support her, but they're already trying to lie to you and say that it's over when it's not, and they're brushing so many things under the rug. For example, like I just told you with the how he counts superdelegates. Can't do that. Furthermore, you really had an entire endorsement here without even bringing up the fact that Hillary Clinton is under FBI investigation. Imagine if Bernie Sanders was under FBI investigation and Hillary Clinton needed 68% in California in order to win and get the nomination. Everybody would be telling Bernie, drop out. You're under FBI investigation. That's crazy. You can blow the general election by getting an indictment during the general election. You can blow it and hand the country to the Republicans. You could just give it to Donald Trump. And they would say, vote Hillary, vote Hillary, vote Hillary. This guy's under FBI investigation. You flip the script, and what do they say? Nobody even mentions the FBI investigation, and they tell Bernie to drop out. Unbelievable. Okay, I got a little mad there. That really pissed me off. Don't lie to us. He's lying to us. The general election has already begun. But it hasn't. What do you mean? It hasn't. Okay. For everybody who doesn't know, here's Bernie Sanders' strategy moving forward. He knows it's a super duper duper long shot for him to get 68% in California. Keep it real, it's not going to happen, okay? But there's a 0.2% chance that I do this and it would be amazing. So he's staying in for that reason. He's also staying in because he's going to try to flip superdelegates. And the argument that he's going to make is, hopefully, I don't know the exact details of his argument, but he'll say something along the lines of, we know I beat Donald Trump. Look at the polls. I beat him by 15 points in the latest poll. Hillary loses by 2 points. Look at it in important key swing states. Even in non-swing states, New Jersey, which is solidly blue, Trump is only 4 points back to Hillary Clinton. So he's going to make the argument, dude, you go with her, you're going to lose. And then on top of that, he should argue, hey, she's under FBI investigation. If the roles were reversed, yes, the superdelegates, while they shouldn't exist, as Bernie Sanders says, they're the red button for this kind of situation exactly. Oh, a candidate who's likely to lose, the other one who's so much stronger, and under FBI investigation. If there was ever a time to use the superdelegates, it would be right now. So he's going to make that argument at the convention. But Jerry Brown, who honestly probably knows that, decides to lie to you anyway and just say, it's over, everybody look away, it's already over, make up numbers including superdelegates, Hillary only needs 10% more in order to win, we need to unify the country and unite the Democratic Party because we have to defeat Donald Trump because he's so bad. Again, if you're going to come at me with evidence and data and policy reasons, and you're honest about it all, so you say, look, Hillary's not that great, but she's better than this lunatic, that's one thing. But you didn't do that. You lied about the vote count. You, under the rug, which is super important, like the FBI investigation, and you are pretending, you made up, you're pretending that this whole thing is over and nothing else is going to happen, and you're being super misleading, and then you try to prop up Hillary in the midst of doing all that. Well, then all you're going to do is alienate Bernie voters even more and piss them off more and make them less likely to vote for her. So congratulations. You just did the opposite of what you wanted to do. All right. Let me take a break. When we come back, we got to get into Donald Trump stuff. Dude, you don't want to go anywhere. I'm telling you, there's going to be two incredible stories about Donald Trump, one about his wealth and one about just outright lying about helping veterans. Incredible stuff. Stay right there, guys. We'll be right back.
And only Deco Double G. You know I'm mobbing with the D-R-E.
You know the West Coast is back for all you suckers.
What's up,
man? Put it in there. Yeah.
Top dog, bite them all. Yeah, I'm burning it up. DPGC, you should be turning it up. DPC, LBC, yeah, we hooking back up. And when they bang this in the club, baby, you got to get up. Good homies, thug homies, yeah, they giving it up. Low life, yo life, boy, we living it up. Taking chances while we dancing in the party for show. Slip my girl up when she crept in the back door. Chickens looking at me strange, but you know I don't care. Step up in this lover, just a swing in my hair. Trick, quit talking, quit walk if you down with the set. Take a put some grip and take this on the jam. Out of town, put it down for the father. And if you happen to get cracked, trick, shut your trap. Come back, get back, that's the part of success. If you believe in the S, you'll be relieving your stress. Da-da-da-da-da.
It's the one and only D-R-E. That's
what,
the brain love, fuck.
Da-da-da-da-da.
You know I'm mobbing with the D-O-double-G. Straight off them killer streets of CPT. King of the beach, you ride to him in your fleet. Look, keep the bill rolling on dubs. How you feel? Whoop-de-whoop. What? Spraying Snoop, hitting colors in the light. With Doc in the back, sipping on yak. Clipping all the amps, dipping through hood.
What up?
Compton, Long Beach, Inglewood. South Central, out to the west side. It's California love. It's California. Got your boy a gang of pub. I'm on one. I might bell up in the Century Club. With my jeans on. And my team strong. Get my drink on. And my smoke on. Then go
Welcome back, bitch.
All right, two very important stories here.
And some rare good work from Politico. And the other one's from AP. AP is usually better than Politico. All right. Let's do it. Let's destroy Donald Trump's career. I have that much power. I don't know if you know that. Ben White of Politico did a superb expose on Trump's wealth. And the conclusion is, shocker, he's a liar. And he's not worth anywhere near what he says he is. So I explain here. Donald Trump claims a net worth of more than $10 billion and an income of $557 million. But he appears to get there only by overvaluing properties and ignoring his expenses. Politico spoke with more than a dozen financial experts and Trump's fellow multimillionaires about the presumptive Republican nominee's latest financial statement. Their conclusion? The real estate magnate's bottom line, what he actually puts in his own pocket, could be much lower than he suggests. Some financial analysts said this, and a very low tax rate is why Trump won't release his tax returns. They continue here, and they really, really get into specifics and just blow up his whole facade. They say, quote, Trump assigns himself a net worth that is impossible to verify and may be based in part on fantasy, and he is selling assets and increasing debt in ways that suggest a man scrambling for ready cash. The financial disclosure form showed Trump adding fresh debt of at least $50 million, though a campaign news release said Trump is using increased revenue to reduce his debt, which is now at least $315 million and possibly more than $500 million. The disclosure also suggests that Trump sold fund assets to raise as much as $7 million in cash and individual securities to raise up to $9 million more. The apparent increase in debt and securities sales raises questions about the amount of cash Trump has on hand. And then they go on to give this quote from a financial expert who looked into this. If he is swimming in so much cash for all his holdings, why is he selling this stuff to raise cash? Okay, I have an answer for that question. He doesn't have cash on hand. It is all a facade. He's been lying from the beginning. And what he does is, it's actually one of the oldest tricks in the book. You sell the image of being super wealthy and super successful, and you equate your name, your brand, with success, and then that opens up more opportunities and gives you more opportunities, and you get more people's money, and you get more loans from banks, so on and so forth, because you've sold this image, and in his case, he's successfully sold his image. So let me give you more facts here. A big chunk of Trump's net worth figure comes from high valuations he bestows on his golf course properties. Trump values 9 of his golf properties at over $50 million for a total of at least $450 million. He values at least 4 more at up to $25 million and a fifth at up to $50 million. But golf course valuation experts say there is nothing in the report to suggest these lofty figures. On his disclosure report, Trump lists the Trump National Golf Club in Westchester County, New York, as worth over $50 million. But get this, Trump's attorney at first argued the property was worth just $1.35 million. Oh boy. So, then the trick he does here. When it comes time to talk to the press and sell the image of him being so immensely wealthy and, oh my God, you should see how much I'm worth, what he does is he really overinflates the value of his assets. But when it comes time to actually pay taxes on those things, what does he do? He goes, I don't know, did I say it was worth $50 million? I mean it was worth $1.35 million. Whoa, 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 there's a big difference there, big guy. Which is it? You can't say it is literally worth $1.35 million when it comes time to pay taxes, but when I'm not paying taxes, I'll just say it's worth $50 million. No, which one is it? It's got to be one or the other. And then get this. When they realize, oh, shit, he's running for president and his finances are going to be scrutinized, what do they do? They're like, oh, yeah, no, we'll pay taxes on it being worth $9 million. Kick it up to $9 million, maybe? Oh, God, he's so sleazy. So you see what he's doing. He's like, well, you know, we'll still say it's worth $50 million, but we'll kick it up from being the preposterously low $1.35 million to $9 million. He's not worth anywhere near what he says he is. All the monetary value he's assigning to his properties, he made it up. He just makes it up. And then when it comes time to actually pay taxes, he's like, it's worth like 1/50th of what I said it was worth. All right, more. Steve Stanganelli, a certified financial planner at Clearview Wealth Advisors, said, quote, Trump has a tendency to value his brand at a very high amount, but these are usually intangible valuations just pulled out of thin air, and he appears to be reporting gross revenue. There is a huge difference between that and net income. What really matters is what you put in the bank. All right, so that's the other trick that he does. When he makes up these numbers about how much he's worth, he doesn't include any of his debt. Dude, then you're just not worth that. That doesn't mean what you think it means.
Yeah, I'm worth this amount.
Okay, but how much money do you have out in debt?
About 70% of that, maybe 80% of that.
But then you're not worth that amount. You have to take that amount and subtract the 70 or 80%. That's what your net worth is.
He's like, no, I'm only going to count the stuff that that doesn't include the debt because then it makes me look better.
But that's not the real number. Nobody does that. Who does that, man? Guys, look, I like Secular Talk, so this is my own little small business here. If I tried to do that and get away with that, I'd be called out immediately. People are like, that's not what you're worth. You're not including any of the debt. But when he does it, all of a sudden, like, people just repeat it. Yeah, he's a billionaire. What do you mean? But where's the evidence of that? There's no evidence of that. There's no proof of that. There's none of that. All he does is he inflates the numbers of his properties, and he doesn't even include the amount of debt he has, his expenses. He doesn't include any of that. That's crazy. All right, and then finally, let me give you this, because this, I think, is the nail in the coffin. Quote, estimates of Trump's net worth range from a low of $150 million to $250 million, asserted by journalist Timothy O'Brien in a 2005 book that earned him a libel lawsuit from Trump that was eventually dismissed. So a journalist does all the hard work to determine what this guy's really worth, okay? He goes, okay, $150 million to $250 million. That's what he's worth. He's worth that much. Trump claims he's worth $10 billion. Apparently, in 2005, he's only worth $150 million to $250 million. So this guy does that, writes a book on it. Trump sues him for libel. The judge is like, get the fuck out of here. Get out of here. What are you, stupid? Get out of my courtroom. You must be a crazy person. No, you don't win this libel case. Get the fuck out. Gee, I wonder if he was worth $150 million to $250 million, or if he was right and it's over $1 billion, or he says $10 billion. Now, to be fair to Trump, Fortune magazine, they also try to calculate what he's worth. They have it at a high of about $3.9 billion. Okay, now, understand, I get it. That's still a lot of money. He's still massively rich, no matter how you slice it or dice it. But I think the point here is he's just a serial liar. He's a pathological liar. He can't help himself. I'm worth $10 billion. Okay, well, the highest we got here is 3.9, so you more than double what Fortune magazine estimates. And then this journalist in 05 had you at $150 million to $250 million. You tried to sue him and you lost. So you're not – it's not true. You're just a liar and we all see through it. But that's the thing. Not everybody sees through it. And this is what Trump has done so well throughout his entire life. He's such a good bragger that he really has sold this image of being successful to the point where when people bring up facts like I'm bringing up right now, like, you get dismissed and you get scoffed at. You know, fucking Jack Nicklaus, arguably the greatest golfer of all time. He's not a stupid person. He recently said, oh, you don't get to where Trump is without being incredibly smart and successful. So what that is he just fell hook, line, and sinker for the propaganda. He fell hook, line, and sinker for the image. No, Donald Trump's wealth is about as real as his skin color. Or perhaps his hair. Okay. Now, oh, and I also forgot to mention, just last thing, real quick. And just as a final point here, understand that Donald Trump inherited a lot of money from his dad. He lies and says, I took a small million-dollar loan. Right, small million-dollar loan. I know a lot of kids in the middle of Harlem who would love to have that small million-dollar loan. But that's what he says, okay? When his dad died, he got way more than that. His dad was worth over $100 million. He got way more than just that $1 million. So, I mean, there's a chance he's only worth today what he inherited from his dad. And remember, his businesses went bankrupt 4 times. So if he's only worth what he inherited from his daddy, and he was born with that silver spoon in his mouth, and his businesses went bankrupt 4 times, well, is that a business genius? My ass cheeks, it's a business genius. Okay, more. I got a lot for you. Here we go to his more lies from Donald Trump. Donald Trump was caught in an outright lie about fundraising for veterans. Man, that is low when you lie about fundraising for vets. The details here are absolutely cringeworthy. So back in January, he held an event to raise money for veterans, and he repeatedly bragged that he raised $6 million for them. It's a number he said over and over and over. Now, that's a little weird because at the time there was a discrepancy because his campaign manager came out and said that the number was about $4.5 million. So that's weird. The same event, at the same time, the campaign manager says $4.5 million. Trump's out there going $6 million, $6 million. Now, to the credit of the media here, they didn't let this go. So they asked Trump to provide the names of the groups he donated to. And for the longest time, he didn't. So he'd be like, okay, so you donated $6 million, and where specifically did it go? Because we aren't accounting for that here at this event. So what do you mean $6 million? Give us evidence that you gave $6 million. Give us the names of the groups. And he would say, no, I'm not going to give you the names of the groups. Get this. Because I want to keep it private. You want to keep it private? Dude, you set up an event to do fundraising for veterans. And at the event, some of the checks they handed out were literally those big-ass checks that you get, like, you know, if you win a golf tournament or something. Like, oh, here's a gigantic check. That's some way of keeping it secret. I want to keep it private, so I'm going to do a public event for it. Okay, so again, beyond fishy, it's just obvious that he's lying. So at a news conference on Tuesday, Trump released a list, finally, way after the fact here, of 41 groups that he said received $5.6 million. Now, again, what's hilarious is there's still a discrepancy. $5.6 million. He originally said $6 million. Now he released a list. See, $5.6 million I gave out. Okay, but you said $6 million. And for those of you who say, you know, you're nitpicking here, Kyle, make out a check for the difference to me. $5.6 million to $6 million. Is that a little thing? Like, is that, oh, just $400,000, no big deal. Who's counting? Well, you said $6 million, now it's $5.6 million. But okay, so he released the list. Here are the 41 groups that received $5.6 million. And oh my God, he berated the press at this event. He called sleazy, this, that. He lashed out at them. He went in, okay? Liars, dishonest. The media is treating me so badly. Ready for this? Quote, the Associated Press spoke or left messages with each of the organizations Trump named. Of the 30 groups that responded by Tuesday, about half said they had received checks from Trump just last week. Several said the checks were dated May 24th, the same date as Trump's interview with the Post and shipped out Overnight Express. Jesus. So do you understand that? He bragged that he donated $6 million to vets. He didn't do that. And then when the media caught him in his lie and they did this big expose and they started hammering him on it, only after they exposed him, he signed the checks that day and overnighted them that day. And then after that, he did a press conference berating the press. Wait. You don't get to berate them. They were right all along. What an unbelievable liar he is. He can't help himself but lie. I mean, think about what he did here, man. We're talking about the fucking vets. We're talking about vets.
Oh, support the truth, support the truth. I gave him $6 million. Actually, we did some research. No, you didn't. How dare you? You're so sleazy. You're so terrible. You're so wrong. So, write the checks now and send them out now. The guy's a maniac, man. The guy's a maniac. He's a pathological liar. We just did the story about it. He's been claiming he's worth $10 billion. The best estimates were that he's worth between $150 million and $250 million. I get it. He's still rich. The point is he's a fucking liar. He can't help himself. He can't help himself! Same thing. I raised $6 million. Really? Your campaign manager said $4.5 million. I say $6 million. Okay, but then there's no evidence of that. Give us the groups. Well, I'm not going to tell you them. I got to keep it private. You're doing an event where it's public. What are you talking about? I raised $6 million. And then much later on when they go, you didn't raise the money. He goes, oh, sign the checks now. Send them out. Oh, no, I raised the money. I raised the money. You guys are all so sleazy. You're such liars. You're so dishonest. No, you were dishonest, and you only contributed after they made a big fucking deal over it. After the media said, hey, you're wrong, you're a liar, there's no evidence you gave this money, then you said, oh, finally, here, take it. And why are you guys such liars? Notice something about Donald Trump, and you're going to see this a lot more moving forward. The more aggressive he gets, the louder he gets, the more obnoxious he gets, the more likely he is to be wrong. Because he did a press conference berating people in the press, calling them dishonest, calling them sleazy, calling them every name in the book, just lashing out against them, acting like he's a truth teller. Why was he doing that? Thou doth protest too much. Dude, if you really donated $6 million, it's over like that. Here's the evidence. Here's the list of groups. Here's the checks. Okay, it's documented. Everything's right here. What do you mean I didn't donate $6 million? I did donate $6 million. Instead, you do a fucking press conference and you berate them. Why? Because you didn't. You only started to do it after they exposed your ass and realized that you lied. The event was in January. You just did it now because they caught your ass. You're just a liar, and this time, you're doing it at the expense of our vets. All right, now, let's go to Chris Matthews, and he's got some thoughts for us on the idea of third parties and independent runs for president. This is pretty sad. Very sad, actually. Chris Matthews is going to make a passionate argument here for why you should have fewer choices when you go into the voting booth in November. Let's watch.
So I think the libertarian thing is much more serious and worthy of attention because they're going to be on the ballot in all 50 states.
Yeah.
And they have their ticket. And
they
Gary,
get 15%.
Well, you know, Gary Johnson,
exactly.
I don't know about that. Gary Johnson is known. Bill Weld is known. And Bill Weld is a smart guy. And both of these guys are fearless, I think. Gary Johnson and Bill Weld, through the wars of politics for 30 years, both of them, they're not going to be scared by Donald Trump. They've got nothing to lose.
They're not going to win electoral votes, so why are they running?
Well, no, I think they're underestimating a little bit about their appeal. If they're sitting at 10% right now and they have not been profiled or recognized nationally, the chance to get to 15% is very good, number one. Number two, I think...
Can they win states?
I don't know if they can win states, but that's really not, at this point, the objective. Okay, the objective here is to get to 15%. This is a step-by-step process for them.
But it's not to get to 15%, it's to keep
but
doing
it.
Do we think a country should be governed by somebody who loses a three-way race?
On the presidential
is it
state?
Good for the country to be governed by somebody who loses a three-way race? What happens? Ralph Nader gets 92,000 votes in Florida. Al Gore loses
that's
Florida.
That's not what this is about.
But that's what
this is
about. Real choice is between the top two.
Exactly.
So one of them will be president. The question is, don't we want honest voting? You vote for the person you want against the other person. You start voting for third or fourth party candidates. You are not actually deciding who you want.
But the president also votes.
Siphoning gas out of somebody's car. It just seems like you're taking the power out of one of the two candidates. If you don't like Trump, vote for Hillary. Anyway.
It's amazing how he's such a shill for the establishment and he has no clue. Like, he doesn't know that that's what he's doing, that he's serving power, and he's serving this corrupt two-party system where it's really just two factions or two wings of the same party, the corporate party. It's so sad. So my response to Chris Matthews would be, hey, dickhead, do your job. So you know what that means? That means that your job, since you're in the news business, is to go out there and tell people the policy positions of Jill Stein, for example, who's running on the Green Party ticket,
Gary Johnson, who's running on the Libertarian Party ticket. Your job is to go out there and give people information and data and facts about these people. And by the way, you know what else you should do? You should discuss in detail the roadblocks that have been put up for people like this by the establishment. If you run third party or you run independent, it's a son of a bitch to get on the ballot in various states. It's really hard to get into the debates, for example, because the two parties have controlled the process. This goes back to Ross Perot, guys. So when Perot did really, really well running as an independent, the parties came together and they said, okay, we got to stop these insurgent candidates who actually come up and say stuff that's interesting and might ruin our iron grip on power. So what we're going to do is they made it so the debates used to be hosted by the League of Women Voters, and it was an open forum. And then they made it so that the two parties came together, and they control who comes into the debates. And guess what? They don't allow in independent candidates. They don't allow in third-party candidates. And then they make up these rules after the fact. They go, oh, yeah, in order to get into the debate, you have to be polling at 5%. And then oftentimes what happens is the person who's third-party or independent will start polling at over 5%, and then they just move the goalposts. Did we say 5%? We meant you have to be polling at over 10%. And then, you know, sometimes they do pass that, and then it's, well, now it's 15%. And they just keep moving the goalposts, keep moving the goalposts, keep moving the goalposts. And then at the end of it, you have idiots like Chris Matthews in the mainstream media like, why are you complaining? You have two choices. Pick from the two choices. What are you talking about? We should have a system where you vote for the person who you want to win. Yeah, that would be an argument to allow third-party candidates in. That would be an argument to allow independents in. He thinks he's making an argument for his side with that point. He's not. He's making the opposite point. Guess what? A lot of people look at Hillary Clinton, they go, I don't like her at all. They look at Donald Trump and go, I don't like him at all. Well, wouldn't it be nice if they did have an option when they go into the voting booth where they can pick somebody who's on the ballot, you know, who's either Green Party, Libertarian Party, or independent? But no. Instead of doing his job and telling you the facts on the different candidates, instead of explaining the roadblock set up by the establishment to keep this corrupt grip on power, what does he do? He serves the powerful, he serves the establishment, and he does it under the guise of, oh, I'm just keeping it real. They don't have much of a shot. Well, maybe one of the main reasons why they don't have much of a shot is because people like you in the media don't do your fucking job, don't highlight the problems, and then we don't get reform because you're not doing your fucking job. If you did your job, if you gave these guys a fair shot, if you spoke about their policy positions, if you spoke about the corruption in the system that keeps them shunned and blocked out, well, then maybe we could get reform and maybe they would have a shot. But no, no. Serve the powerful, serve the establishment, don't even realize that you're doing it and pretend like you're the one who's keeping it real. And instead of having a conversation about their policy positions, smugly dismiss them and say, yeah, no chance, no chance, next segment, next segment. Okay. All right, let's take a break here, and then when we come back, we have a crackdown on hate speech coming out of Europe. Can't wait to talk about that story. And then Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck, man, they both super embarrassed themselves. So I got a lot to talk about for both of them and much more. Stay right there, guys. We'll be right back. I left my body. Son of a bitch. All right, we're back, guys. Let's continue here. We have a new crackdown on hate speech coming out of Europe here. RT explains, U.S. tech giants have signed an agreement with the European Commission to tackle the spread of illegal hate speech online that requires them to address complaints within 24 hours. Facebook, Twitter, Microsoft, and YouTube adopted the code of conduct on Tuesday, committing to a crackdown on the use of online hate speech swiftly by putting in place internal procedures to respond to the majority of notifications of abuse within 24 hours and remove the offending content if necessary. The guidelines are aimed at combating the use of social media by terrorists. They continue. The measures are based on the framework decision on combating racism and xenophobia, criminalizes public incitement to violence or hatred, and forms the legal basis for defining online content as illegal. The European Court of Human Rights distinguishes between content that offends, shocks, or disturbs the state or any sector of the population, and content genuinely intended to incite people to violence or hatred. Okay. Here's why I'm against this. Who the fuck determines what's what? This is a massive slippery slope, and all of you know it. And the real red flag is honestly the same thing that they said here, which the NSA says about why they have to spy on you. They go, well, I mean, come on, we're only doing it to stop the terrorists. You disagree with us? Well, I guess you're for the terrorists. No, or people really are concerned about privacy, and they don't want all their information, all their metadata to be stored. And it was mission creep. So they said, oh, we're starting this just for terrorists. And then it became, the stories broke that the NSA was slipping the information to the DEA, and the DEA would take that information and use it to crack down on drug crimes. Well, there it is. You're not using it just for terrorism. You're using it for drug crimes, which, you know, many people, including myself, say that's not really a crime if it's a nonviolent drug crime. So what are you doing? You're spying on us, and you're locking people in a cage for not hurting anybody and just being free. Okay, that's horrible. It's the same thing here. Like, obviously, when people say, hey, hate speech is bad, well, yeah, if you mean just don't be a dick to people and don't overtly say hateful things, of course. But then, honestly, what constitutes hate speech? It's such a broad, vague, generalized thing, and it's so obvious that what you might think is hate speech is not what I think is hate speech, and that line is blurry. There's not a clear line there. So, for example, when I come out here and I give rants against U.S. foreign policy, and I say, hey, when we murder civilians, that we're terrorists. The U.S. government is terroristic with our drone program that kills 90% civilians in the Middle East. Well, there's somebody in the middle of the country who hears that, and they go, well, that's hate speech. Wait, it's not hate speech. I'm giving facts, and I'm saying, here's the definition of terrorism. We fit that definition. The U.S. government is a terrorist in this sense. Well, they go, I'm offended by that. That's hate speech against the U.S. government. Now, if somebody attacks the U.S. government, they're going to say, Kyle said it was because U.S. is terrorist, and you got to stop terrorists with violence. So he's a problem. Okay, somebody can make that argument. So does that mean that all the segments I've done where I talk about the drone death rate, got to take it down? Hate speech. It's hate speech. Got to take it down. No, that's crazy. By the same token, in one of the articles I read on this, they go on to say one of the protected things is religion. Oh, hold the fuck up. So now if I come out here and I give a long rant against Christianity, or I give a long rant against Islam, or I give a long rant against Hinduism or whatever, somebody who's in that group can say, well, that's hate speech. Viciously lashed out against my religion and gave a plethora of arguments why you think it's bullshit. I'm so deeply offended by it that I think that this is, you know, hate speech. Now, understand, they try to make clear here that they're going to try not to take down the comments that you know, are disagreement but not hate speech. But I think my point is, I don't trust the judgment of others to determine whether or not to delete comments based on what they think and don't think is hate speech, because people have wildly differing opinions on that. And furthermore, so let's somebody who's a racist, for example. We all disagree. If you listen to the show, obviously you know I like to think I combat racism more than any other hosts. And we talk about the data and the statistics and the numbers that prove that racism is still a problem in this country. And it's a problem in many places. Okay, but Do I think that somebody has the right to be a racist prick? Of course. Of course, just because I disagree with them doesn't mean that they can't go out there and make themselves look like a jackass. What if somebody has the Confederate flag avatar on their, or whatever it's called, icon on their Twitter account? Should you shut them down? Well, I don't know. In Europe, it's illegal for people to have the Nazi, have Nazi symbols. It is in some places in Europe. They go, oh, that's enough to shut you down. Look, obviously, no, I despise with a burning passion Nazis and the Confederacy. But does that mean that people who are waving those banners are criminal by definition, and therefore having that opinion is not acceptable, and you're censored because that's hate speech because we all decided it's hate speech? It's a slippery slope, dude. It is a fucking slippery slope. So I don't agree with this at all. And then furthermore, even the idea of actually shutting down, for example, you know, jihadist Twitter accounts. Why? You can get fantastic information if you're actually doing police work, if you're actually doing intelligence gathering, to fucking have the ISIS jackasses right there saying, this is what we're going to do and when we're going to do it. Why would you even want to? Why would you want to? That gives you good information. Look, for so many reasons, this is just, it's a bad idea, man, because you know what it is? It's authoritarianism masking itself as, you know, a white knight to come and save the day. No, but you're not saving the day. You're just going to censor and shut down and silence people. And understand, if you're somebody who right now says, no, I agree with this, wait until you say something controversial and they have a debate about whether or not that constitutes hate speech. You're going to be outraged even at the fact that it's a debate. You're going to be like, what do you mean? I said this thing. It's my real opinion. There's nothing wrong here. There's nothing, you know, hateful or direct threats of violence here. But the fact that people will have that discussion and they have the ability to perhaps rip down comments, that's not good, man. That's not good. And you have a right to be a racist asshole. You do. You do. You don't have a right to make direct threats of violence, but that's already obvious, and they already take down literal direct threats of violence. This is broader than that. They might try to pretend that it's not. It certainly is. It certainly is. So more things fall under the umbrella now, and it's up to their discretion. Hey, pull down everything. And now the scariest part is it's not even just the private company, and it's up to the private company's discretion, which it always has been, because it's a private company, they can do what they want. Now it's the EU getting involved. So the government and the private companies. Code of conduct, you need to abide by this. You feel like it's a tick-tock until, you know, we get to the point where it's like, hey, you have an unpopular opinion. Now your account is shut down. That's basically the antithesis of what the internet and these free forums are supposed to be. All right. Now, let's go to Rush Limbaugh to thoroughly embarrass himself. So there was a very sad situation recently. A little kid fell into a gorilla exhibit at the zoo, and the gorilla kind of dragged him around aggressively. So the zoo shot and killed the gorilla in an attempt to try and save the kid. Now, they say they couldn't use a tranquilizer because it could take up to 10 minutes to work, and you know the gorilla was already agitated, and there were all these issues. So they feel like they had no choice. Now, I'm not going to really get into that story in any detail, although there is certainly an interesting discussion to be had about the morality or lack thereof of zoos. But Rush Limbaugh decided to weigh in on this, and oh boy, is his take golden.
This woman obviously is not Red Genesis, and even if she did, it wouldn't have any impact on her. But
good.
Human beings travel all over the world to gawk at animals precisely because they're unusual, they're interesting, some are cute, some are deadly, there's no way human beings are going to not be interested in animals. Gawking at them, out on safari, hunting them or what have you. By the way, you know there's another factor in this, Snerdly? A lot of people think that all of us used to be apes. Don't doubt me on this. A lot of people think that all of us used to be gorillas. And they're looking for the missing link out there.
The evolution crowd, they think we were originally apes. I've always had, if we were the original apes, then how come Harambe is still an ape, and how come he didn't become one of us?
Well, that's why they're looking at missing linguists, Limbaugh. Your question is absurd.
Oh, my God, that's the most embarrassing thing I've ever heard in my life. Oh, that's so sad. Dude, he did the mocking voice for somebody who believes in evolution.
Oh, Mr. Limbaugh, I believe in science and whatnot.
He's, like, condescendingly and arrogantly on team Bible is literally true. You heard him there. He said,
you haven't read Genesis. Yeah, but I bet that if these people read Genesis, it wouldn't even have an effect.
Yeah, good. Yeah. I mean, what the fuck? Could you imagine somebody...
I bet these people haven't read the Quran and the Hadith. It wouldn't have any effect if they did.
Yeah. Wouldn't we say that's right? That person is accurate?
If these people haven't read the Bhagavad Gita, and even if they did, they probably wouldn't think that that's the origin of the universe. Idiots.
How could you be so stupid? Could you imagine Rush Limbaugh, if he lived back in the Roman days or the Greek days, he would just totally believe in the Roman gods and the Greek gods. Like, what do you mean? Of course, my mommy and daddy told me these are true. Obviously they're true. If he was in some tribe in the Amazon and they were worshiping rain gods, he'd be like, yeah, the rain gods, obviously. Who doesn't believe in that? These idiots coming here with their science saying that we came from apes. How is someone that we came from apes? Okay, Rush, I got some news for you. You have the same number of hair follicles on your body as an ape does, as a gorilla does. I'm sure it's just a coincidence. No, you don't have, and by the way, idiot, it's a common ancestor.
He's like, well, why do apes, why do gorillas still exist? Why do monkeys still exist?
Because we share a common ancestor. We weren't literally the same. Oh, and dude, like, I never get people like this.
Humans are so special. We were created by God. That's what it is. We're so special. God said we're the special ones.
We shit. People defecate. Other animals do as well. Like, you don't see the similarities between, you know, gorillas, monkeys, and us. You can't see, doesn't look like, hey, perhaps we had a common ancestor. Hey, he's the missing link. What do you fucking mean the missing link? We have all the evidence we need. Obviously evolution is true. No scientist sitting around going, God, you know, evolution would be true if we could just find that missing link. No. I think it might literally be 100% of scientists have concluded, obviously it's true. We have the fossil record. We can see the progression, and we can see what led to us. He's just so massively ignorant, and he's mocking people who believe in science as he's like,
well, obviously, we didn't come from apes, and God created us, and Genesis is right.
It's one thing to be ignorant and be stupid and be kind of humble about it. Like, hey, look, man, it isn't my thing. I don't know that much about it, okay? But my opinion is X, and that opinion can be wrong, and that's one thing. Because, okay, so you don't know, but you're an open-minded person. Let's figure it out. We'll sit down. Let's discuss this. Let's look at the data. Rush Limbaugh is basically a parody of a human being.
He's like, oh, these people don't read Genesis. If they read Genesis, obviously you believe it. You got Adam and Eve. It's not Adam and Steve, fucking gay people. And what they do is they got the talking snake, and they got the tree, and God tells them there's only two people on Earth. This is 6,000 years ago. It's verified. People believe in science. Fucking idiots. But next you're going to take vaccines and stuff. You know, next you're going to take an antibiotic when you have a disease. Fucking crazy people. Next, when you break your arm, you're going to go to the doctor and they're going to set it. Obviously, you sit there and you pray. Oh, God, please fix the problem I have. Oh, we all know the world is 6,000 years old. Even though it's 4.54 billion years old, and the universe is 13.9 billion. But no, my book says 6,000. And we know that Noah got every animal on the ark, the mosquitoes, and the ferrets, and the tigers, and the polar bears. The climate doesn't work the same for all of them, but he brought a freezer or something.
he looks down on you for believing in science. And he's like, well, obviously, my religion is right. Rush Limbaugh, he really strikes me like he wishes he was living in the Christian version of Saudi Arabia. Just this super old-school, draconian, dumb, biblical law-based society. And he's so profoundly unreflective and convinced of his nonsense that he really has become a caricature of a human being. And by the way, perhaps unsurprisingly, he might be done soon. He might be done soon. There was a story the other day about how his contract is up this year, and he took a massive hit from all the advertising, from the Sandra Fluke incident when he called this poor girl a slut for no goddamn reason other than the fact that she takes the pill or whatever. Advertisers fled his show. So now it's time to renegotiate his contract. He has no leverage. What's he going to say? Bring me back on. Nobody wants to fucking advertise with me. That's not a good argument. So he might stay on, but he's going to take a massive pay cut if he stays on. And already nobody's listening to him. In the station in New York, he had literally dead air and public service announcements during his breaks before he got kicked off of his main station in New York and went to a lower station. In some markets, college radio stations are beating him. College radio stations, for those of you who don't know, have a signal that goes out like 23 feet. Nobody listens to that shit. But even fewer people listen to Rush Limbaugh. So with segments like this, you begin to see why that is. He simply hung around too long, and he's way past his time. Perhaps his show, you know, would have been most popular in about 1956. Next, Glenn Beck. The Glenn Beck radio show has been suspended from Sirius XM radio over a recent incident. Now, it's not suspended on, you know, other forums, as far as I understand. And remember, he does have his own The Blaze TV network. So these things are separate. They do have their own financial troubles on their own, by the way. But he has been kicked off of XM radio, or at least suspended, for a certain period of time here. And Mediaite reports and explains why. Quote, in a statement released Tuesday, Sirius XM announced they are suspending the Glenn Beck program from its lineup after a guest made comments that many interpreted to be supportive of the assassination of Donald Trump. Conservative author Brad Thor made comments last Wednesday saying that Trump opponents may be forced to resort to extra legal means. Here's what the guy said. Quote, this is serious and this could bring down incredible heat on me because I'm about to suggest something very bad. It is a hypothetical I'm going to ask as a thriller writer. If Congress won't remove him from office, what patriot will step up and do that if he oversteps his mandate as president? Sirius XM evidently agreed with Thor's critics, interpreting comments as an endorsement of assassination. Sirius XM also hinted that the Glenn Beck program could see the chopping block over the comments, saying they were evaluating its place in our lineup going forward. Okay, so, now I've gone over this a million times. There was a really detailed Politico story that spoke about his financial troubles. For those of you who don't know, he takes money from various right-wing think tanks. And he's basically a welfare queen to those right-wing think tanks. So they prop him up by giving him money. And then it was supposed to be the case that he would also take in a lot of money through advertising revenue. Problem is, nobody wants to advertise with him. So if you watch his network, all you'll see in the breaks is, like, you know, customized rifles and end times fucking food packages and shit like that. Real low-brow advertisers who don't pay much. And it's just not enough to keep the business afloat. There's been layoffs there recently. Glenn Beck himself has made comments going back a year or two talking about how, I don't want to be in politics forever. I want to do other stuff. So there's so many signs that this thing is going to collapse, and in fact, I've predicted in the past it will collapse, and I'll predict again today. At some point, it's going to fucking implode, because a lot of the stuff that they say, their numbers just aren't real. When they talk about, oh, we have a membership program that has X amount of people, the numbers are made up. They're made up. You know, they claim it's kind of like the Donald Trump trick. I am worth this much money, and people look at it. Actually, you're not worth anywhere near that much money. But because you portrayed that you were so powerful and worth so much, for a while you coasted off that, and you were able to get more money from people, like the right-wing think tanks, and you were able to coast off that name recognition and that facade of being successful. It's imploding now. Glenn Beck show is imploding now. So XM dropping him for this, and I'm actually going to throw a curveball at you now. Now, I do think Glenn Beck will implode, his whole The Blaze you know, outlet here. And I'm not going to be sad on that day, not at all. But I'm actually going to defend him in the SiriusXM case because he didn't say it, number one. Number two, I don't even necessarily agree that that's exactly what they're getting at here. I think there's a lot of reading between the lines. So to me, I get it. If it's a literal direct threat of violence, yeah, okay, pull him. No issue with that whatsoever. Nobody should do any direct threats of violence. But what he said was, and I'll read it again for you. This is what the guy said that led to them being suspended. This is serious, and this could bring down incredible heat on me because I'm about to suggest something very bad. It is a hypothetical I'm going to ask as a thriller writer. If Congress won't remove him from office, what patriot will step up and do that if he oversteps his mandate as president? One interpretation of that is, oh, maybe shoot him, maybe. But even he said hypothetical and I'm a thriller writer. But he didn't even say anything about that. Perhaps they just mean take, you know, whatever. Kidnap him, take him out of office, lock him up. Give him a trial. Who knows? I don't know. But it's not certainly not clear-cut that he meant kill him. So I actually don't agree with suspending him from XM. I know a lot of people are going to think that's crazy, but I don't, you know, it's like if I invited somebody on and they said something a little goofy and maybe I didn't interpret it right on air, and then somebody tries to give me the axe because somebody said, not you, but somebody you had on said something that may or may not be interpreted in this way, we're going to let go of you. But that leads to the final point on this. Maybe, just maybe, SiriusXM was looking for an excuse. They were looking to cut Glenn Beck because maybe they know more than I do about the Blaze's financial troubles behind the scenes. Maybe they just didn't like them. Maybe they were getting shitty ratings. I'm sure they were getting shitty ratings. And there's a million and one problems. So on the merits of this, I'll actually defend him because I think that they're being too sensitive here, if you will. But in terms of the business angle of it, well, if it's just a business decision from SiriusXM and they're like, they get no ratings and they suck anyway and we don't like them, well, then that is their choice and they can do whatever they want. So this is the first step in the direction of implosion, and believe me, in due time, more will come. The Blaze is going to be a wrap, and it's going to be a wrap maybe even sooner than many of you think. Okay. All right, now, let me go to the Mississippi governor who made an ass of himself. Mississippi Governor Phil Bryant recently received the Samuel Adams Religious Freedom Award. Now, I know that sounds awesome because it has religious freedom in the word there, but it's actually an award from far-right Christians who want to implement biblical law. So, in reality, it's against religious freedom, but they call it, hey, it's for religious freedom. But they gave him the award because, quote, earlier this year he signed a law that allowed businesses to discriminate against gay people on religious grounds. The bill wasn't just something that let local bakeries refuse to make cakes for gay weddings either. It is so broad that it enables both public employees and private businesses to discriminate against gay couples, transgender people, and even those who have premarital sex. So it just allows discrimination if you hide behind the guise of, it's my religion, man. What are you going to do? I hate people that have premarital sex. Your boyfriend or girlfriend, get the fuck out of my establishment. So it's an insane law, and this guy, again, these people would fit much better in, like, Saudi Arabia than they would in the United States. But let's listen to what he said in his acceptance speech here, because this is ridiculous.
Do they believe that we will just simply walk away from those freedoms that our forefathers died for? That Samuel Adams and those men that were divinely inspired to write that Declaration of Independence and our Constitution, do they think we will simply abandon that? They don't know us very well, do they? They don't know that Christians have been persecuted throughout the ages. They don't know that if it takes crucifixion, we will stand in line before abandoning our faith and our belief in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So if we are going to stand, now is the time and this is the place.
Really, dude? You guys would do crucifixion
to continue to discriminate against. Oh, how brave you are. You're so courageous. You're so courageous in hating gays that you would be crucified in order to continue to snub gay people and say, fuck them. It's so sad how, in their minds, they've flipped history. They think they're on the right side of history, and they make arguments like this without realizing how embarrassing it is. These are the same arguments made back when we were doing desegregation. In the South, they said, state rights, this is our choice. And remember, it's the Bible that says interracial marriage is bad. So we're going to stand up for our biblical values. And if you don't let us block interracial marriages, well, you are persecuting us. The fuck are you talking about? And he even said it. Christians have been persecuted forever. It's so bad. It's so bad. Dude, you're in Mississippi. Christians in Mississippi, the fundamentalists, are the ones doing the persecution of others, including gay people. Oldest trick in the book. Oldest trick in the book. I have a friend who used to live in Iran. He grew up, born and raised in Iran. He's like, that's exactly what they do. You have the Islamist regime, the Shia Islamists. They go, whenever anybody brings up any liberal, hey, and we're not even talking about gay marriage in that context. We're just talking about maybe you don't lock gay people up. Maybe you treat them decently. Hey, maybe we shouldn't, like, just hate gay people for no goddamn reason. Oh, my God, you're persecuting me. You're persecuting me. My faith is under attack. You're taking away my right to take away other people's rights. God damn it, this is so unfair. But see, that's the thing. You don't have a right to take away other people's rights. And that's not an argument. We're going to be crucified to continue to hate gay people. That just makes you a dick. And furthermore, do these guys ever point at the good stuff in the Bible? And this is, you know, virtually true of all the different faiths. There's good stuff and there's bad stuff in the holy books. And what you find is the right-wingers always just pick the worst shit. And they're like, this is what we're going to do. We're going to hate gays. Look, hate gays. I'll be crucified if you don't. I will face crucifixion if you don't let me keep discriminating against gays. Well, have you ever gone, hey, look at this beautiful Sermon on the Mount, or look at the fact that Jesus helps the poor, the sick, the downtrodden, the left behind. He's flat out anti-rich people. But no, this is the same party that goes, cut taxes on the rich, they're the job creators. That is not a Jesus message. We love us some capitalism. That is not a Jesus message. I mean, Jesus is so far left, he makes Karl Marx look like Ann Coulter. But no, they disregard all the stuff that doesn't coincide with their political ideology, and they embrace all the stuff that does. So now we're talking about how persecuted they are, even though they're doing the persecution, and now we're talking about how they'll be crucified to continue to discriminate against gay people. That's not brave. You're just a dick. Okay. I got the countdown in my ear, so that means I'm done. I didn't have time to get – I got a lot of stuff I didn't have time to get to, which is kind of sad. But we're going to do them tomorrow, so don't worry. All right, guys. Love you. Everybody have a great rest of the day. You know where to find us tomorrow. Much love. Mwah. Peace.